Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is Michael Moret. This is our 37th study in the book of Genesis, and we come today to Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are reading. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 39, 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Joseph's brothers sold him to some traveling Ishmaelites. They took Joseph to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, who was an important officer to the king of Egypt. 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Joseph was 200 miles away from home, working as a slave for a heathen, and he was still successful. Success for God's people does not depend on circumstances. It depends on us staying in fellowship with God. And Joseph did. In verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Joseph was blessed with talent, but he was successful because everything about him was under the lordship of Almighty God. Verse 4. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. Potiphar did not care about God, but he was smart enough to know that because Joseph cared about God, he could be trusted to do the correct thing. Joseph was a man of integrity. Verse 5. So it was, from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And once again we see that our level of devotion to God affects not just ourselves, but also those around us. 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Potiphar had it made with Joseph around. He did not have to worry about anything because he knew Joseph was running the household the way it should be run. Number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And the devil, of course, would say to Joseph, "Joseph, you get all the breaks. What a great opportunity. Do it. No one will find out. Her husband isn't around. You're 250 miles from your home." Joseph could have easily rationalized that way, I suppose. Verse 8, but he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Immoral people use their position as opportunities to sin. People like Joseph see their position as a reason not to sin. God was his God. Potiphar was his master. He has been entrusted with his position. He will not abuse that trust or dishonor God by using it as an opportunity to sin. 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her, Joseph had to fight off this temptation several times. Verse 11. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Now, Joseph did his best not to go near this woman, but as a servant, he had a job to do. Consequently, he had to go to her house, and he had to do his work. And verse 12 says that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. She cannot force Joseph. She's not, you know, able to do that to him. And so he did not run out of there because she had the power to force him to be immoral. He ran out because the temptation was real and it was strong. Verse 13. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." Notice how quickly her passion for Joseph turned into rage against Joseph. If she can't have him, then she will hurt him. And he would not give her what she wanted, so now she will make him pay. Verse 16. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused." He was angry. But do not read into the scripture what is not there. It doesn't say that he was angry at Joseph. Don't worry. Potiphar knew what kind of woman she was. And he knew what kind of man Joseph was. 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. Any slave who attacked his master's wife would be put to death. If Potiphar believed his wife's story, Joseph doesn't go to prison. Joseph is executed. Potiphar believed Joseph. 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Circumstances took another turn for the worse, but God was still with Joseph. In the last part of verse 21, it says that he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Joseph's circumstances have gone from bad to worse, but God was in control, and God gave Joseph the grace to keep going and to keep living for him. Chapter 40, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And God will use their offense and the king's anger against them to actually get Joseph out of prison. All of this that is happening is a part of God's plan. 2. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Every Christian has a choice to either focus on themselves or focus on God's sovereignty. If we focus on ourselves, then when something unpleasant happens, we get angry and full of self-pity. But if we remember Romans 8:28, that He is working all things together for good, that's going to eliminate sinful anger. That will eliminate a sinful self-focus. And Joseph survived and even thrived in a lousy, unfair situation because of his God focus. 4. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Now, bad circumstances do not give a Christian the right to complain or compromise God's moral standards. And Joseph remained a man of high character, even though his circumstances got worse. And that put him in a situation where God could use him, like right here, verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. Both had dreams. Both dreams were actually revelations from God, and both dreams had different meanings. 6. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. Well, the two men sensed that their dreams were not just dreams. Those dreams meant something. But they did not know what they meant, and that bothered them. And so they were worried about the unknown. 7. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" You know, a big lie has infiltrated the church today. Evangelicalism. You can't minister to others or serve Jesus until your situation is the way you want it to be. That is the lie. So what we have is a large number of Christians who have a paralyzing self-focus, a preoccupation with making their life better. But notice Joseph. He didn't have anything the way he wanted it, but he still reached out and ministered to these two men. Verse 8. And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Well, Joseph is right. Interpretations belong to God. And Joseph did not say, "Well, you men are in luck because I have the gift." He pointed them to God. Verse 9. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And, you know, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the Bible says. An unsaved person cannot understand the things of God. That means this unsaved butler will never figure out what this revelation from God means, no matter how long he thinks about it, because it's a word from God. 12. And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days." You know what? You could put 100 of the world's smartest people in a room, and you would get 100 different interpretations as to what this dream from God meant, and none of their interpretations would be correct. Verse 13. "Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler." Good news for the butler. It doesn't say he will get a raise or a promotion, but he is getting his old job back. And you know, sometimes the best news is simply being able to once again do what you used to take for granted. 14. "But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this place. Joseph needs someone to stand up for him. So he says, put in a good word for me. And I think I'm going to stop there today. And we'll pick up our study in verse 15 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.